Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. I have found that one of the root problems and a contributing factor in most inner problems is the hidden feeling of low self-worth. It has often been said that people will treat you the way you see yourself or the way you treat yourself. Even though many of our lives flow with milk and honey, we still think that we are not good enough. Sometimes individuals spend their entire formative years being put down by those who should be supporting them. And when those who feel that way, feel inferior that is, try to compensate for their feelings by acting strong, they end up driving away people or being viewed as overbearing or arrogant. If you will turn with me, in the book of Genesis chapter 29, we will read the narrative of Jacob and Jacob's experience with Rachel and Leah, and it will give us some much-needed insight in overcoming low self-esteem or low self-worth. Genesis 29:16-18. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder daughter was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Verse 18 says, Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said to Laban, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Remember, again, Genesis 29:17 says, Leah's eyes were weak and dull-looking, but Rachel was beautiful and attractive. Leah had tender eyes, that is, soft eyes, thought to be a blemish in her day and time. I know in today's culture, being tender-eyed might be thought of as a good thing, but in the world of Leah and Jacob and Rachel, it was not. She was seen as weak and not so pleasant-looking. Today, a person might say that she was not beautiful at all. The eyes are the mirror of a man's inner being, and Leah was seen as weak and tender, inferior, in some unexplained way. Therefore, she saw herself through her own eyes as weak, feeble, or even pitiful because she saw herself as weak. She had to try and to protect herself from being hurt even more. Thus, her name was Leah, which means weary or tired. The root word of her name means to be disgusted, to faint, or to loathe, or to weary oneself. Because she saw herself as inferior, she had become timid and afraid of rejection, and just plain tired of people putting her down all the time and rejecting her. When Laban deceived Jacob by giving Jacob Leah instead of Rachel, Leah clearly understood that Jacob considered her inferior to Rachel, guaranteeing that Leah would always feel inferior in that marriage. Genesis 29:23 says, Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid, Zilpha, to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, that is, Jacob said to Laban, What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? How do you think Leah felt listening to Jacob talking to her father in that manner? This would drive almost anyone into depression. That is what Zilpha, her handmaiden name, meant dropping or falling or sinking or even drooping. I think she was given that handmaiden because it reflected her state of mind at the time. First, she was weak-eyed, and now, after being rejected by her husband, she is given a handmaiden whose name means failing or falling. She felt like a trickle, one drop of water in an ocean. And on top of all of that, verse 30 tells us, then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years for Rachel. Jacob was willing to work another 7 years just so he would not have to spend the rest of his life with Leah. So Jacob began to see her as inferior because he began to show favoritism to Rachel. But I am so glad that we serve a God who does not see people like we see them or think of people like we think of them. Isaiah 55 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is on the side of the person who is treated as inferior and rejected by others, because God values all of his children equally. The Amplified Version says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was despised or unhated, he made her able to bear children, but Rachel was barren. God will many times cause a person that is unloved or hated to find some area in life where he or she can excel or perform expertly. The Bible says in verse 32, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my afflictions. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. The name Reuben means behold a son. In that culture, a son was about the best thing a man and a woman could ever have. A son was so valuable that he was given half of all that the father owned at the father's death. But still, Rachel was without a child. And Leah was now hoping that finally she would be loved and accepted. One thing that you and Leah must do, and that is to believe everything that God has said about you. Not other people, but believe everything that God has said about you. Ephesians tells us, according as he hath chosen us in him, that's in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then Paul goes on to write in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, that's accepted in Jesus Christ. And you must believe what the Bible says, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Bible tells us that the fear of a man is a trap. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And we should not seek the approval of men and try to serve God, because Galatians 1:10 tells us that if you try to please man, that you will never be able to please God. The Bible tells us that Leah, the unloved wife, had another son. Verse 35 tells us in Genesis 29, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing children. The name Judah means to praise. This tells us that she had learned something special. She had learned to turn her attention to God and not to the people around her. She had learned to worship and praise God for what he was doing in her life. The less she relied on husband and family, the less she placed value on what people said, the more God blessed her. But like many of us, we sometimes forget what got us to where we are. Old habits are hard to release, because in Genesis 39, the Bible said, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpha, her handmaid, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's handmaiden, Zilpha, bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop comes." So she called his name Gad. And Gad means to attack. A person who feels inferior many times do whatever is necessary to win, like giving her handmaiden to her husband. Sometimes the inferior feeling person will attack others around them. That's what the name Gad means. She wavered between happy and sad. She was on a roller coaster of emotions most of her life. And I think today we call that manic. But in Genesis 30 and 12, the Bible said, "And Leah's maid Zilpha bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, 'I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed.' She called his name Asher." She was happy because the daughters or women around her will call her blessed. What a sad reason for happiness. She was happy because she thought other people would see her as fruitful or successful. When are God's people going to realize that true happiness does not come from what other people think about us? True happiness comes from what God thinks of us. One of the best scriptures in the Bible to address the whole person or to help us to understand who we are in the Lord is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." This scripture identifies the various components of the inner man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart means to have faith in God and in your spirit, in your innermost being. And lean not on your own understanding means that our spirit should be directed and controlled by the Holy Spirit, not our own minds. In all of your ways, in all of your actions, acknowledge or know him or have knowledge of God. We must develop truth in our spirit by knowing God. And the Bible says, "He shall direct your paths." Your own will must be run or must be directed by God's will. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't trust your own perceptions of how things are or things around you. Look, you must depend upon God's word to translate what's around you. Fear the Lord. We must be motivated by God's truth. And the Bible says, depart from evil. Our actions must resist evil around us. It will be health to your flesh. God will meet our emotional and spiritual needs and strength to your bones, and we will experience inner health and wholeness. When you have a desire that is directed by the Holy Spirit, truth will flow into your life from God. This truth will cause you to yield to the Spirit of God, and you will begin to perceive things in life differently. You will see God beginning to meet your needs. You will become more motivated to serve Him. Your behavior will ultimately change as you have godly experiences and finally godly emotions. Too many people lead off with emotions. Emotions must not be first. Emotions must be last. But one thing we know for sure, and that is that change is possible. It may be one of the few absolutes in life. Nothing stays the same for very long. There are forces that resist positive changes and forces that precipitate negative changes. And without any intervention, nature moves in the direction of disorganization and deterioration rather than wholeness or truthfulness or order. It is God and God alone that develops, improves, and creates things. It is Satan that kills and steals and destroys, according to John 10:10. But we must understand that it is not the forces on the outside of us, but the forces on the inside of us that have the greatest influence and power in our lives and provide for the greatest potential for change in our lives. I would like to give you a few biblical principles to to help you refocus and reshape and restore your life in a biblical manner. The first thing you should recognize is that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, and for reproof, that means pointing out your errors, for correction, that means making behavioral adjustments, and for instructions in righteousness, training for life that has been approved by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. On the most fundamental level, change comes by simply choosing to act, and not just any actions, but acting according to the word of God. If a man simply obeys what he reads or hears in God's word, he will be blessed and his life will be changed. James 1:22 tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you only hear and never do, the Bible says you are deceiving yourself." And then James 1:25 says, "Look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and do not be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." Listening and doing the word, acting with right actions, will lead to a blessed life. Another principle is that you must replace the lies in your mind with the truth of God's word. This is called renewing the mind. When you become aware of an ungodly lie or deception or stronghold or motivation in your life, that means that you believe someone's lie about yourself. If you do nothing about that lie, it will grow and overpower your life. But the Bible said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Acting on God's truth brings godly desires into your life, which brings godly actions into your life. Another principle is you must replace old behavior with new behavior. This step is called putting off and putting on. When you take something away in your life, you must replace it with something new. Remember the parable of the house being swept clean? In Luke 11:24, Jesus said, "When an evil spirit comes out of a person, it goes through dark places looking for a place to rest, but it doesn't find any. Then it says, 'I will go back to the home I left.' When it comes, it finds the house swept clean and in order." Then the Bible tells us that the spirit goes and brings along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and take up permanent residence there. In the end, the condition of that person is worse than it was before, according to Jesus' statement in Luke 11:26. When you are making changes in your life, you must fill the empty void with something else. Ephesians 4:25 tells us that when you're putting away lying, you should fill it with speaking truth. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not." And what do you fill it with? "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." Ephesians 4:27 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer." And what do you replace that with? "But rather let him work with his hands what is good, that you may have something to give him who has need." Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." And what do you fill that with? "But what is good and necessary for edification." Another principle that the Bible gives us is that we are changed by the way we understand things. We tend to act according to the way we see ourselves and the way we see others. Once you know who you are in God's eyes, it will change the way you see yourself, because correct perception brings correct actions. The Bible tells us in Luke 11, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you be not darkness." Truth in your mind changes how you see yourself, and it changes your actions. Another thing that I think is very important for us to understand is that we must be accountable to someone for our actions, someone who can motivate us to change. You need people around you who love and care about you and that can help you face your faults and help you to change. The Bible further tells us that temptation can be overcome if we submit to God and resist the devil. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Many times a person can change the consequences of his or her life by changing the actions they sow. This is called sowing and reaping. Your crop or what you reap will always be determined by what you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. And the last thing I want you to remember is from 1 Corinthians 10:13. God has promised us that he will always give us a way to escape. And you should not be overwhelmed with life because God has promised us a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the testing or temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You must put on the whole armor of God, and you must remember that past and present experiences can be healed through changing our perception of them and releasing them to God. When you examine your trials and tribulations in life through the lenses of the Holy Spirit, you will understand that God was and is preparing you for something greater. I've gone through some hard times in my life, but every difficulty and every hardship that I've ever experienced has made me 10 times stronger. Remember what Joseph said? You meant it for evil, but God turned it to good. I am Pastor Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today so that people everywhere will be blessed by the good news of God's Word. My mission is straightforward and comes directly from the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Join with me in this great mission. I want you to know that I listen to every message, read and pray over every email and letter that comes into my office and website. I also would like to invite you to come and worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. at the New Covenant Church of God. Or you can learn more about Healing Hearts Ministries at healingheartsnyc.org. Or you can call us at 917-935-5374. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.